Good morning, Africa. How are you all doing? Welcome to another episode of the podcast, Africa, the next big thing. And you know, the mission of this channel is to help African entrepreneurs become influent leaders by promoting out your brand, your business skills, your culture, and sharing your success stories so that will keep the African youth inspired and it will also connect you to the foreign investors. So the guest that we are having today is somebody who doesn't need any introduction, to be honest. He is the co-founder of the company Octave Incorporations, which outsource the best tech talents, which help to build the solution for clients, individuals, and the companies. They train, and get all those students prepared to the top-notch tech solutions for the business. They also have a lot of programs that they are doing of Python, machine learning, computer vision, and also the deep learning. So he is here with us today. His name is Mr. Michael OJ. He's the co-founder of the Octave Incorporations, and he is here with us. Here he comes. Hi, Mr. Michael. How are you?
Hello. How are you doing? Yeah, good morning.
Oh, yes, yes. A very good morning to you. So how's everything? How is Nigeria?
Yeah, Nigeria is very fine. Thank you very much, Chiraj. How's, you said you're in America, right?
No, I'm in India right now, but I'm working in America. Yeah. India is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, the winters are going to come very soon in India.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So, you know, the topic of today's Mr. Michael, like we discuss about entrepreneurship. You are yourself an entrepreneur. You are an inspiration. You know, you are changing a lot of lives in Nigeria, which is, you know, recommendable. It is something which is real. It's applaudable as well. You are really doing a great job, an awesome job, Mr. Michael. So just before we jump to the topic and all those things, I just want to start with a little bit your backstory. Like, how did you get started? What your backstory, your education? What was your childhood like? Everything.
Oh, okay. So I'll just start with a simple introduction. My name is Michael Ojo. I'm from Nigeria. And I'm also a student of University of Lagos, studying chemical engineering in my final year. And I'm also the founder of Octave Corporations, which was founded in 2021 February. And we aim to advance digitization in Nigeria and Africa at large by providing available, accessible, and affordable digital education and services. Okay, so that was the aim of the whole company being founded. And I come from a very local area called Obalende in Lagos, and it's an area where, you know, there's really no motivation to, you know, to progress. There's no infrastructure for digitization. You know, all the school environments are just really low grade, and you know, people who you grew up with, who you see as an adult, you know, tend to be stuck or stagnant in the same place. So there's no form of progress. So you know, that's one of my motivation, okay, trying to see how we can, you know, advance the level of digitization, you know, starting from my community, and then Lagos and Nigeria as a country, then as Africa as a continent. Yeah.
Oh, amazing, you know, amazing story. So that's really awesome. So what were the challenges in your journey? Like, say, like you told me, like you come from a very humble background, I would say. Like, okay, you know, where there were not so opportunities, you know, I can understand, like, there are times, you know, when, you know, the people who are around us, they have a different mindset, they don't even motivate us, but they always demotivate us. When we tell them something new, they always demotivate that. That's not possible. So what were the challenges in your journey? And what was the tipping point where you decided, yes, this is what you have to do?
Well, the challenges were quite many, you know. Starting from the fact that my initial idea wasn't to establish an edtech. So it was actually to go into manufacturing of, you know, robots and drones, because I'm also a robotics engineer. Yeah. And I formed the team, and then we had done our research survey, and I wanted to begin the process. But at the time, there was no form of funding. No, we're all bootstrapped, so we couldn't further that project. So we decided to just begin an edtech, you know, it's much more cheaper and affordable to gather individuals and teach them digital skills while they pay an affordable fee for it. So we had more challenges, including the technology. We needed to build a platform where we could, you know, communicate to our learners, and we did not want any form of restriction. So we decided to do virtual live trainings where we get students from far and wide, you know, not only in our community, but in different states in Nigeria. And then we teach them different skills like data analytics, data science, graphics, web development. So one key challenge was the funding to keep moving forward and the infrastructure needed to make it convenient for both the instructors and the learners, okay? And of course, at some point, it got so frustrating that, you know, we had to cool off a bit and like, okay, let us re-strategize and see. Let's see how we can make it much more sustainable, despite the fact that, you know, there is no investment yet. So we just restructured the whole learning system and called it a boot camp. So we made it a 2 month duration, and then more students started coming in, and you know, so basically, and so, to summarize the whole challenges, is basically the funding, the technology and infrastructure, and also the enabling environment, right? Definitely, the learners need the gadgets, right? They need their laptops, they need internet, and all of these are mostly, you know, not available in this part of the world, you know, and if it's available, it's quite expensive. So those are one of the roadblocks that we faced, but well, we tried to work around the challenges and keep moving forward nonetheless.
Oh, thanks for your openness, man. So like, how many students do you train per batch? Is it something specific or no? It's like I've seen, like, you know, many coaches that they only have, okay, 20, 30 students per batch, and even some do 100. So is there any number that you do, or how it is?
Well, we don't have a limit on our students. In fact, as of now, we've trained over 2,500 students since 2021. Total. And we tend to push that number to about, say, 10,000 to 15,000 by end of next year, you know, by accelerating, you know, the old thing. So, yes, it's more of a cohort-based learning system, but each cohort does not have a limit of students, right? You can have as many as possible coming in to take the... And then we do both free trainings and we do paid trainings, you know. Depending on the particular program at that particular point in time. So the numbers are basically random, but there is no limit. There's no limit to students.
Oh, just great. So, Mr. Michael, according to you, what does entrepreneurship really means in the African context? Like, you know, there are a lot of challenges, but so what it exactly means when it comes to Africa?
Well, as you know, Africa is a space in Earth that's full of potential, right? We have unattended problems, and you know, there is no eye above digitization or industrialization and all. So entrepreneurship in this space would be to find solutions to these problems, right? And being able to make a business of it. There is the market, right? But you just need to be really smart about it, because there are several other external factors that will affect your journey as an entrepreneur. So you need to be, you know, perseverance, you need to be patient, and you need to be innovative in your thinking. And you need to not let any form of distraction or noise affect you. For instance, several things like government policies, enabling environment, all of these things, they affect the journey. But you don't use that as an excuse. The people of Africa, those you're trying to, you know, give the solution to, right? You make your survey, you validate your product or your market, and then you launch your product or your service, and then you focus on the customers, which is the people of Nigeria and Africa, right? So you ensure that you understand the problem very well, and then you give it to them just the way they want it, right? So in Africa, entrepreneurship is all about just providing solutions to the biggest problems that we face: environmental, social, technological problems, education, and there are several problems like poverty, poor education, no jobs, all of these things, right? So the SDGs have about 14 goals, and almost all the problems that is tended to be solving is basically faced in Africa. And as an entrepreneur, you should pick one of those problems and just find the best solution and a good approach to solving the problem. And then not forgetting that you have to make profits. So you need to be smart with your business strategy and have the right team to work with, and then just do your thing and enjoy the journey.
Yeah, right. Oh, amazing. So you have just touched the challenges that, you know, like today African entrepreneurs, what they are facing today. So my next question to you is, how African entrepreneurs are handling then these challenges, the continent challenges and all, because there are a lot of success stories. Even you are also an example. How do you guys like just conquered all those challenges which are coming? Like, what are the reasons? Like, you know, because yes, there are a lot of successful entrepreneurs. I know myself, a lot of African entrepreneurs who are in United States right now, they are doing amazing job. So how do you guys conquer that continent challenge?
Well, one of the ways to conquer the challenges is to basically not let it be a factor or a determinant of your success, okay? Because there are some things that you cannot control, that things above your control. In process design, there is the internal factors and the external factors. So the external factors are what you cannot control, things like government policies, environmental problems, and the rest. While the internal factors are what you can control, right? What you set for yourself, like the team you work with, the technology you're using, and your method of approach, right? So one way is to understand your product and service well, because you have to understand what you're giving to the public, and then now let the public understand them too, so that you know you can this agreement and mutual understanding between the two parties, the producer and the consumer, right? And also you have to be very patient, right? Because lots of things could really frustrate an entrepreneur in this African space, right? In terms of electricity, which is one of the major issues, internet connection sometimes can be so bad that you cannot do anything for the whole day. So all of these things are challenges, yes, that tend to want to put you down, but you should look above those things and just focus on your goal. And that's why you need to have a mission and a vision, right? So let the mission and vision drive you. Let it drive you forward. So as long as you are focusing on your mission and vision, there is no form of challenge that's going to actually draw you back. Yes, you would need time to rest. You need time to, I don't know, it's a time of recession and just to chill out the old pressure, right? But then you shouldn't give up. You should be relentless and just keep moving. No, the challenges will always come. They are always there, right? But you keep moving forward nonetheless.
Yeah. Oh, I love this, you know, what Mr. Michael, what you have just mentioned right now. And I want to tell this to all the viewers right now. Like, you know, there are times when you all feel like giving up. You know, like, this is not for me. I have internet challenges. I have this thing is happening with me. I don't have a good laptop. I don't have a good internet. I don't have a good space to work with. But as Mr. Michael mentioned right now, if you have your mission and vision cleared, and, you know, nothing can stop you. Like, I would personally do, Mr. Michael. Every day I write my own goals, you know, like my mission, what are my goals, what I have to achieve. Every day I write. So that I know, like, if sometimes these challenges comes to me, you know, I always read it because I write every day. So this will keep me inspired as well. So to all the viewers, you guys can also do all these things, because these things are really, really important that will keep you on going. So Mr. Michael, my next question to you is now, it's nothing related to politics and all. So to all the viewers, it's nothing about politics, but I'm just mentioning, and I just want to know, like, how Nigerian government is promoting and supporting entrepreneurship in Nigeria right now. Just wanted to know that.
Okay. Well, to be honest, they are really trying. They are really, really trying, because I'm actually a beneficiary of some of their programs, focused on entrepreneurs. So recently, our National Institution of Technology and Development Agency partnered with edtechs like Coursera. They partnered with BlackBerry. They partnered with Binance to give free digital skills training to entrepreneurs and the youth, right? So that they can learn their skills. And they have a goal to upskill over 50,000 Nigerian youths and entrepreneurs, set time zone. So they're really trying. They're doing their best, and there are several other programs for incubation, and they also give access to funding, but that is where they have to work more on. But then they do. But I am a beneficiary of those programs. In fact, currently I'm enrolled into the Coursera program, where I have access to lots of different courses, right? On blockchain development, on artificial intelligence, and cybersecurity, all of those very important skills. So they're really supporting, but it might seem so not effective, because it may not reach, as many people that need it. But then the little that that are beneficiaries can actually attest to the fact that they're actually doing their best.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really great. So according to you right now, how much, Africa is ready for the digital transformation? Because, we are living in digital era. And America, US is a superpower. And they are always the first mover of everything, what happens around the world, I think many countries, they are far behind from USA, because USA is always, they always wanted to be at number one. So the digital transformation, it came in USA in 2008, 2010. What in India we come to know around 2017, 18. And I think now in Africa also it's coming. People are aware about, something about digital and all. Yes, there are a lot of people who are not, but at least some of them, they are aware. So according to you, what is the future of digital revolution in Africa?
Well, I think... to some points, we are very ready. It's just that there are still some things to be put in place. The infrastructure is there that needs to be advanced and upgraded. Of course, the power issue, like electricity, and also the enabling environment. But as at now, especially in Lagos, Lagos is like the orb of, entrepreneurs and innovation in Nigeria, right? And as I said, that Nigeria is the giant of Africa, right? So as long as Nigeria is excelling, Africa is also excelling. But then looking at a very broader scope, I think there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. A lot of people cannot still afford to even if you make the digital skills completely free, right? They will still need to have data and app devices, which will cost money. So there's nothing completely free, because there's still going to be a cost attached to that. So all we need is just to see how we can continue reaching out to those that are yet to be, some persons don't even know how to operate the tablet or the mobile phones, or let alone the laptops, right? Some don't even know what digitization means or how it can affect their lives. So there's a lot of work that still needs to be done to advance the level of digitization in Africa. But there's a lot of hope, because lots of edtechs, lots of startups, lots of entrepreneurs have been sprouting up to solve those problems. So give or take, in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll see a very substantial change in the level of digitization, in a good way, right? So we are looking at having at least some hundred of thousand more digital savvy individuals in Africa, and that will also lead to a multiplier effect, right? So as you are, that's why I also advise our learners at Octave that they should also have this entrepreneurial mindset, so that as they are learning from us, they should also find something to do and also try to you know, help others with what they've learned, try to apply the knowledge to help others to also, you know, upgrade. So yes, as long as we work together to, you know, to solve those problems, I think there's a lot of hope for Africa, and I think we are ready. We are ready just have those, and at least if the electricity and the infrastructure are set, I think the rest is no problem, because Africans have very brilliant minds, right?
Yes, no doubt. Minds.
So no if doubt. You just put them under maybe 2-3 months of rigorous training, and then another 3 months for projects and experience, they become something else, right? Become something innovative, and you know, have become a solution provider on their own, which is very good for the growth of Africa.
Yes. So that's why my channel says Africa, the next big thing, right?
Yes. Very correct. Very correct.
Yes. So, Mr. Michael, my next question to you is now, so where do you see yourself after 5 years? And also, are you open to collaborate with others? Let's say others who are also working in digital transformation, digital revolution and all. Are you open to collaborate right now? And where do you see yourself after 5 years?
Okay. So, remember when I was talking about the challenges, I told you that the first thing we wanted to, you know, work on was a robotics and drone manufacturing firm, right? So in 5 years time, I think we should have gotten the required capital to actually launch the first robotics products, right? In terms of for logistics delivery, and also for security, and for industrial applications, right? So before then, we should have actually been in the manufacturing industry where we produce, and if possible, EVs, right, electric vehicles. So by 5 years, and also we want to have trained over 200 to 300,000 learners for that time. So we are thinking of different innovative ways to increase our community base, our community members, so that we can reach out to more. So if Octave can train about 200,000 learners, and 20 learners now go and multiply by training other people, right? You know how big that would be as an effective tool for digitization. So in 5 years time, we should have been in the manufacturing industry. In 5 years time, we should, because our mission is to be the number one edtech in Africa that provides the most affordable skills, or the most affordable education, digital education and services. So in 5 years time, I believe that we would have worked towards being the number one in Africa, and you know, going into the global scale and competing or collaborating with other people. And for collaboration, because actually I don't believe in competition anymore, right? Because at this point in time,
of course,
there is no point competing with each other. I think we should do more of collaboration, right? Should just collaborate, because we have the same problem to solve, right? We are solving the same problem. We want to advance digitization. So there's no need to compete to know, okay, who is best or who has the much more share in the market, right? No, how can we work together to, you know, achieve this goal, to get a goal, it's a mutual goal, right? So we do this by collaborating with several other firms. We've collaborated with about 15 so far, you know, in the UK. Skill Up Life is in the UK. They provide internships for tech talents. So basically, when our students are done with our programs, we connect them to the Skill Up Life team, and then they get them internships in the UK or the US or whatever companies they have. And there's also Omdina. Just recently, one of the team at Omdina reached out to us, and you know, we discussed collaboration. I don't know if you know Omdina. They are a global organization that focuses on artificial intelligence.
Yes, AI. Right? Yeah.
So they teach data science, machine learning, artificial intelligence.
Yes, machine learning. Yes. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So they teach all of those to individuals in different parts of the world, so that they can build solutions, intelligent and data-driven solutions to solve social problems, environmental problems, you know, very complex problems like flooding, like hunger, poverty, you know, mass displacement, those sort of things. So we had just partnered just recently, because if you check my recent post on LinkedIn, you'll see the post. We want also to basically give us 500 slots for our members to learn full stack data science and machine engineering for free, right? So we are going to use the whole of 2023 to cover those 500 learners. But then, because it's a 6-month program, and they would need to work on several projects, local projects, which are projects that that will solve a particular challenge in their community, and then another project for a global scale challenge problem, right? So it will take about 6 months for the complete program, and then they get a very professional certificate, right? So, and that might roll over to 2024. So that's another step, you know, towards, you know, upskilling our people and, you know, making them be able to build innovative solutions for the, and then we also partnered with even the local companies in Nigeria, like Metro Eyes is an eye clinic. They've been established for the past 45 to 50 years. And the managing director reached out to me and asked how we could use technology to actually advance their services and, you know, make their operations much more efficient. And then, you know, I actually did a masterclass for the whole employees of MetroX, right? So I taught all the employees data analytics and business intelligence and made them, you know, data aware and data centric. So after that, we now continue with consulting, you know, trying to help them with a good data management system, trying to help them solve their business challenges so that they can meet up their business goals. And they have over 12 branches all over Nigeria. And, you know, in exchange of our services, they would give free IKEA services to our learners and our members in Octave, right? So that's more like a value changing, you know, transaction. And aside from that, we have much more business with them. You know, we want to build artificial intelligence systems for them for scheduling, for reducing waiting time and service time, and also to increase the service, right? The customer service and experience, all of these things, right? Very important. And we've also partnered with a particular sports management company, Elite Sports. We recently built their, you know, website, you know, the software platform where their athletes, like the footballers and the basketballers and the rest of the sports players, can, you know, have a profile on their page and also, you know, have some sort of news articles, live streaming events and the rest. So we are using technology to drive the growth of these businesses, and we are looking at collaborating with much more businesses so that we could, you know, show them how technology can be used to actually drive growth. You know, technology is basically used to propel growth, right, with little effort, and then you have a massive return in that particular effort. So we are looking at increasing that base, you know, to as many as 100,000 by 2025, you know. And currently in Octave, we are building a software. It's going to be a machine learning operations software where, because of the issue of the technical skills not available in those businesses, we cannot start, you know, it won't be sustainable teaching them machine learning, artificial intelligence. But what we can do is to provide a platform where they can still access and utilize machine learning, but they don't have to have the required technical skills. All they need to do is to know the type of data that should go in, and then the results comes out, right? So we have the predictions, we have the reports and dashboards, the metrics to be tracked, and also the reports and, you know, all of those things that makes it business driven with data. So they don't need to know how to code Python or how to code R, all of those things. They just need to know the kind of data they should put into the software, and then they get the result in real time, right? So that it makes them proactive instead of reactive, right? Reactive is like the damage has occurred, so we want to find a solution. But we are trying to move to the point where we don't want any damage to occur. We want to be able to predict any damage so that we could avert it before it happens. And that saves cost and increases efficiency and increases and maximizes profits for the business. So we are working on that currently, and we should have the alpha version launched by March or June 2023.
Oh, amazing. Because, you know, recently I have worked with one software company, you know, in India, and it's Alpha Silicon, and their main challenge was, like, they made a software, the ERP system, but their main challenge was, like, they don't know how to sell. They said that, you know, we have to reach a lot of corporates, a lot of B2B companies and all. So now they were looking for employees. And, you know, when it comes to IT, the employees are very expensive. Like, they take a lot of salaries and all. They demand a lot of things, specifically the salespeople. I told them, because they had a team of 250 people, I told them that these 250 people are going to work for you and going to book appointments for you. They are going to bring a lot of customers for you, and you don't even have to pay to them. And they say, how? Okay. I say that you just have to invest in their learning. I'll teach them the proper appointment setting formula, how to, you know, book appointments with all the huge deals and crack it. What are the scripts and all, everything. So you say, okay, do it. For 20 days, I did that. And every month, that man is getting 70 to 80 appointments booked. And out of 80, he's closing to 15 to 20 people every month now, consistently, after that 15 days. Yeah, so I can also help you with that, you know, in the future. Yeah. So, okay, Mr. Michael, my now next question to you is, now one thing I want to tell to all the viewers, because, you know, I ask this question in every episode, like, what do you want to appeal to the investors of North America, Europe, and India? How big is African market? And this question goes to Mr. Michael as well. But one thing I want to tell you, now we have some more investors from Dubai. So I'll be not correct if I don't mention that name. So Mr. Michael, my next question to you is, what do you want to appeal to the investors of North America, Europe, Dubai, and India? How big is Africa market when it comes to investment?
Okay. I really want to say that Africa still has a lot of untapped resources and untapped potential. And there is a lot of very brilliant talents, technology savvy talents, who are working very hard, building different innovative solutions, scalable products that are not just for profits or business, but also improve the lives of people in the continent. But the major challenge is financial support. There are certain products that are very capital intensive. And that's why we started with EdTech, because it's much more cheaper. But maybe we had the money, would have gone towards hardware production, right? But we needed to be smart enough to just start from what we could afford. So I want to appeal that they should look out for startups like, you know, Octave and other places, you know, Octave is currently focused on education, business, technology. You know, there are people that are focusing on several other things, you know, like the social problems, there are people that are focusing on fintech, people focusing on sports tech and the rest. And these entrepreneurs are really brilliant. They are customer centric, they are data driven, they are technology driven. But one thing remains, that without the required funding, the growth will be slow. And for us to see a very rapid growth in these solutions, we need funding. And I'm appealing to the investors that may be listening to this podcast that they should reach out to as many startups as they can, listen to the founders, and hear their sustainability approach, their financial analysis, projections, and, you know, their team, because you definitely need to have the right team, right? Because that's what we are blessed with at Octave Corporations. You know, I have not been paying anybody's salary since we started in 2021. There's just been incentives and any form of you know, job that comes, we just share it, you know. So there is no you know, fixed salary, because we are not yet that stable to start paying you know, very not even the average. We can't even afford average, let alone the standard salary. So we tend to speak to employees. So the employees we have in Octave now are those who are also visionaries, who have the mission and vision at heart, and does not care about profits for now. And that's what I also want to advise people who are into that entrepreneurial, you know, space to do, try to work with people that have the same, you know, mind. But to the investors, I'm assuring them that there is a lot of brilliant minds working on several scalable products and services that are making lives better and advancing the continent forward. But they have different challenges. And the major challenge, if you take a survey and, you know, take it across entrepreneurs, the major challenge you will see that is common is funding, right? Because funding is necessary. We need at least we need to eat, you know.
Yeah,
so and then we also need to invest in the technology. Okay, so funding is quite important. And even if it's not financial, it could be something else, right? It could be exposure. It could be referral, right? You can refer people to patronize these people, right? You can. So it even if it's not monetary, it should have something valuable that can you know move them forward at least. And the more they move forward, the better for Africa, right? The better for everyone.
Yes.
That the solution is providing for them, right? So that's what I would say. I would say that they should just consider meeting as many startup founders as possible, having a discussion with them, and see how they can help out with their missions.
Oh, amazing. Amazing, Mr. Michael. And yes, you know, Africa has a lot of potential. That's for sure. And amazing, you know, because I started my journey from Africa, you know. I was in Ghana, side by side. I started my online journey besides my job. And I know where I am today. So Africa has a huge potential. That time I just saw the opportunity. And yes, I really cracked that. No doubt about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so Mr. Michael, my last question to you is, I ask this in every episode. What advice do you want to give to a youngster who is between 18 to 25 and watching this episode? Because, you know, this is an age which either can make you or break you. Yes.
Okay, so, I'd say this. Of course, let me be public with my age. I'm actually 23 years old, right? And
wow.
I'm in that age range. So what our advice to those in that age range is to be open-minded, right? Be ready to learn, and they should just keep improving themselves as much as they can. You know, they should not let the challenges that have been discussed, you know, affect their goals. Their goals are legit, right? It doesn't matter. You know, you can decide to set a goal to be richer than Elon Musk today, and it might sound unrealistic, but Elon Musk had that goal, right? And then he has achieved it. So you could be the next person who would achieve it too. But it is not just by saying or writing it down. It's also by action, right? Working towards
yes.
it, having a plan to achieve it, okay? And so you need to be proactive. You need to be innovative in your thinking. And you need to be very, very open to learning every day. Learn new things, follow new trends. Do not let anything pass you by. There are lots of opportunities online. So be online, you know, be on platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, and join groups that actually, you know, talk about stuff that you're interested in, right? And if you
yes.
want to go into the entrepreneurial space, you need to basically just pick a problem. There are several problems. This is Africa that has numerous problems. So you can't say you can't find one problem, right? There's housing problem, there's poverty, there's hunger. So there are a lot of problems you can pick from. So pick one, and each problem does not have a one-size-fits-all solution, right? Somebody else might have another approach to solve hunger, and another person may have another approach, right? I might decide to solve hunger by having a farmland and planting crops and the rest. And I can decide to also end hunger by providing jobs which also provide money that they can use to feed themselves. So it doesn't matter, you know, the problem. What matters is what you're trying to provide. So you need to actually work hard to understand, you know, that particular problem and learn the skills required, work with the right set of people, and just focus on the goal. If
yes.
you want to be an entrepreneur whatsoever, do not focus on the money. And that's one of the mistakes that entrepreneurs make. They focus on the money. And that's why there's a difference between an entrepreneur and a, if when I say a business, is it going to be a businessman or an hustler?
So a small,
there's a difference between an entrepreneur and an hustler. So an hustler is basically working towards getting a pay, right? Just going there, just, you know, you could be an hustler, right? Just going there just for the pay. You don't have a mission, you don't have a vision, you just want to survive, right? While an entrepreneur is not just for the money, it's probably wants to solve a particular problem, right? It doesn't, you know, it is eventually going to be profitable, right? That is no brainer. As long as you're able to solve a problem, there is a market, the money will surely come. But because of the scope of the problem you're trying to solve, it may not come as soon as you want it to be. So you need to be patient, right? And don't just jump from one place to the other. Focus on one thing, validate your idea, your product. Don't guess. That's why I advise that you use data. You know, take surveys and validate your product and service. Do not guess that, you know, for instance, I'm in the school environment, and I say, okay, it seems that the students need an app for food delivery, right? And I did not go and ask for their opinion. I just go and build it. I had some app developers, and then I built it. And then after I launched it, I realized that they don't even need it. You've wasted money and resources, right? So that's why product validation is very important. So you don't guess. You basically validate your ideas, and then when it is validated, and then you know there's market for you, and you usually go and build it because you are sure that there's a market. And then you take out your first launch, get your first set of customers, get your testimonials, and then scale up as much as you can. So patience is very required in the journey, any journey at all. Always have a goal and a purpose in life, because that makes it, you know, having a purpose in life make you wake up early in the morning, happy and focused, because you have a direction, you have a particular place you are going to. But if you have not found your purpose, or you don't have a mission or vision, you tend to not know what you're doing, right? You think, okay, what is your purpose in life? And you tend to even get depressed sometimes. But if you have a well-defined goal, you know where you are heading, right? So everything you do every day of your life should be towards that goal, right? So every day you wake up, there is something to be done, because something has to always be done to get and approach that goal. So having a mission, a vision, and a purpose is very important and key to self-development and also nation building. Because when you have a goal to advance digitization in Nigeria, you know, and make Nigeria become part of the countries in top digital technology, everything you're working is towards that goal. And as you are approaching that goal, Nigeria is approaching that level, right? So perseverance, work with the right set of people, and expect disappointments, definitely, right? People would promise you things. They'll promise you money, promise you lots of things. In fact, I had individuals who promised to give us working spaces when we began, who promised to give us millions when we began. And one of the mistakes I personally made was planning on those promises. And I learned the hard way that I should have expected disappointments. Because imagine planning on a million that have not come to your hands, and then you you started planning on it, and then it doesn't come, right? It basically disables you mentally, emotionally, and even physically, right? So expect disappointment. If anybody promises you anything, do not expect it until it comes to your hand. If it does not come to your hand, just think of it as it is not coming, okay? So that is also part of the journey. And all in all, just be open-minded and be hopeful and be optimistic, okay? Pessimism is good, but it's toxic for growth, because it is good to know and understand the challenges you will face, but doesn't mean you should let it be a determinant of success, right? The challenges are always going to be there. You're always going to you know, meet things that are above your power, right? The government are going to frustrate you. Look at what Nigeria government is doing for those in the blockchain and the cryptocurrency in Nigeria. They banned cryptocurrency, right? And now those people who have started up startups on crypto cannot function optimally because of that policy. And these are things that you cannot control. But do not let them be a determinant to your success. Try to pivot as much as you can, but there is a particular goal you want to meet. And that's what we should be focused on. So beyond the profits, beyond the money, focus on the goal. But as long as you are approaching that goal, the money will be inevitable to come. There's no doubt about that.
Yes. Oh, amazing. Amazing, you know, advice to all the youngsters. And I also want to add just one last thing. To all the youth, you know, do you know what is the biggest asset of Africa right now? You will say natural resources. Okay. You will say we are talented. We are, you know, hard workers, no doubt. But the biggest asset that Africa has today are youth. Because they have the highest volume of youth right now. And Mr. Michael is an example in front of you. He's a 23-year-old guy and he's making such, you know, new things by himself. So what you all need right now is to invest in yourself. I say this in every episode and I will say it again. Go and invest in yourself. If you are just dependent on universities, the university teachers and everybody, trust me, they won't tell you how to make money, how to do business. But when you invest in yourself, you invest in new courses, in new skills, in new investment, you're going to make it huge. The reason I am huge because I have invested, you won't believe, let me give you an exact number. I have invested more than $75,000 in the United States. After my MBA, after my master's, I've invested $75,000 to learn new skills. That's why I'm making business today. I don't come from a rich family background. I don't come from a business family background, but I am doing business today and a good business because I invested in myself. So this is something that you can do. And in Africa, there are huge opportunities at affordable prices. Go for it. Because if you go and see in USA, you have to pay 10 times. So
yes.
Go surround yourself with such people and let they come. And that's what, you know, Mr. Michael, my podcast channel is also on a mission to bring foreign investors so that can easily help them. You know, they can help them to bring all the same education. Right now, I'm in touch with a lot of universities in Ghana and Nigeria. I told you the thing is, I told them that the program that you are going to invest $5,000 to $10,000 in USA, I'm going to give it actually less than, not even I'm going to charge 5% or 10%. That's my goal right now. So this is what everybody has to do. So all I can say is thank you, Mr. Michael, for coming to the podcast. Let's end it over here. And I want to thank each and every one of the viewers, you know, who are just listening. See you guys in the next episode. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.